Chapter 7. Though I never thought I'd say it, I'm overjoyed to see the dour, imposing lady that is Spence again. The 3 days I passed in London were torturous, what with Tom's sulking, Grandmama's constant fussing, and Father's absence. I do not know how I shall survive the season. And there is that other matter, my troubling dream and the strange occurrence with the fireplace. The sudden flare of fire was only from stubborn soot inside the chimney. The sweep confirmed it. The dream is harder to dismiss, perhaps because I want to believe that there is a secret door into the realms, that the magic still lives inside me, but wishing won't make it true. The chapel bell tolls, calling us to morning prayers. Dressed in our pristine white uniforms, our hair ribbons securely in place, we traipse the well-worn path up the hill to the old stone and beam chapel. "How was your visit home?" Felicity asks, falling in beside me. "Hideous," I say. Felicity grins. "Well, it was an absolute misery here. Cecily insisted on playing charades, as if we are all still in nursery, and then, when Martha guessed her straight away, Cecily pouted. It was Wuthering Heights, and everyone knows that is her favourite book. It's no mystery." I laugh at her tale, and for a second I have the urge to tell her of my dream, but that will only bring up the subject of the realms again, so I think better of it. "It is nice to be back," I say instead. Felicity's eyes widen in horror. "Are you ill, Gemma? Have you a fever?" "Honestly, I won't shed a single tear when it is time to say goodbye. I cannot wait to make my debut." Annabel's hateful gossip weighs heavily on my soul. "And Lady Markham is to present you, is she not?" "Yes, as I must have a sponsor to put me forth," Fee says brusquely. "My father may be a naval hero, but my family hasn't the standing yours enjoys." I ignore the swipe. The sun has blessed us with the first taste of the warm weather to come, and we turn our faces toward it like flowers. "What sort of woman is Lady Markham?"
"She's one of Lady Denby's followers," Felicity scoffs.
I wince at the mention of Simon's mother. Lady Denby has no love for Felicity or for Mrs. Worthington.
"You know how that sort is, Gemma. They like to be flattered and led to believe that you revere their every word as if it had dropped from Zeus's tongue. Why, Lady Markham, I thank you for your good advice. How clever you are, Lady Markham. I shall take it to heart. How fortunate am I to have your counsel, Lady Markham. They want to own you."
Felicity stretches her arms overhead, reaching for the sky.
"I shall leave that to my mother."
"And if Lady Markham were not to present you, what then?" I ask, my heart in my mouth. Felicity's arms drop to her sides again.
"I'd be done for. If I do not make my debut, my inheritance shall go to the Foundling Hospital, and I shall be at Father's mercy. But that won't happen."
She frowns.
"I say, you are quite keen on this subject. Have you heard something?"
"No," I say, hesitating.
"You're lying."
There's no getting around it. She'll badger me until I tell her the truth. "Very well. Yes, I heard a bit of gossip in London that Lady Markham was having second thoughts about presenting you to court because of your reputation. And I only thought, with so much at stake, perhaps it would be best if you were to behave." The word is no more than a faint imprint. Felicity narrows her eyes, but there is hurt in them.
"Behave?
Just till after your season." Felicity sneers.
"Shall I tremble at every scrap of nasty gossip? I've survived worse. Honestly, Gemma, since you've stopped taking us into the realms, you've become a dull mouse of a girl. I hardly know you any more."
"I only meant to warn you," I protest.
"I don't need warnings. I need a friend," she says. "If you wish to scold me like a schoolmarm, you might as well sit with Nightwing."
She flounces away, joining arms with Elizabeth, and the sun, which felt so warm, is no longer a comfort.